Welcome to the Simple Minds podcast, where six mates unpack three topics over a new drink each week. Fuck it, just go with that. We'll fix it if it's... Welcome everybody to the Simple Minds podcast. I am joined by my esteemed colleagues.
You suck.
So self-conscious.
Why are you blushing?
I'm Marco. I am hosting the show today.
Are you?
Well, I'm going to try to. We have almost a full house. We're waiting for Conrad to arrive, but we decided we'd just start the show without him and he can learn his lesson that way. In the room with me today, we've got Travis Hato.
Hey, hey.
Michael Duncan.
Hey, guys.
Justin Bourne.
What's up?
Jacob Moffat.
Hey, guys.
And Conrad will join us at some point when he so chooses.
Shout out to Magic Matt.
Yeah. Shout out to Magic Matt. We miss you, mate. So hosting, I brought some drinks today. I thought I'd mix it up a little bit and brought in... Basically, I've made a twist on a Negroni. It's called a Boulevardier. Does anyone know what a Negroni is?
Nope.
It's basically... it's an Italian aperitivo drink. Gin... Sweet vermouth, Campari. Sweet vermouth's like fortified wine. Campari's a bitter aperitif. Gin is gin. But instead of gin, we put whiskey in it because it's a bit of a rainy day. We've chosen a Japanese whiskey today called Nika, all malt. And enjoy, gents. Cheers.
Cheers.
Don't steal on dry July with the water.
I am on dry July still, man. Come
Sorry,
on,
Mark, I missed you.
Amazing drinks, and then just see this like coffee mug come from the right.
Marco, where would you normally have an aperitif? Is that
mainly before a meal?
Wow, yep. That's amazing.
Yeah,
like a
bed of
palate preparer.
Yeah, it's a little bit bitter. Goes really nicely with some salty food, which I brought in today. So we've got some ham and cheese.
Can we?
Yeah, get stuck in.
Of course.
But yeah, aperitivo is basically the time before a meal, and drinks like this are designed to open up your appetite. And yeah, really classic. The Negroni is a really classic Italian drink. And here's a little twist for winter.
Yeah. Twist for winter. Did you twist the orange into it or just stick it in?
Yeah, I twisted the orange in over the top. And then also a cool little trick you can do is you can like zest the side of the glass and you've got all of these orange oils that go onto your hand and then your hands
and
your...
Yeah, so you can smell it when
you
smell it
and then you've got that aroma going all over the place.
See, man, that's why we got you here, Mark. That's some good insider information.
Trick as a kid and like squeeze the orange peel in your mate's eyes.
You could do that.
I
used to do that all the time. That's why I'm laughing.
That's really good, actually.
Oh, I'm glad you're enjoying it.
Mm.
Really simple to make. So, yeah, just grab Campari, sweet vermouth, and, you know, you can pick a spirit, gin or whiskey.
What quantities of
each? Equal measures.
Yep.
Equal measures over nice, fresh ice and stir it down until it's not super... punchy in your face unless you like it really strong, but you get a bit of dilution and cooling it down and stuff like that. So yeah, over ice.
And what else have you brought in? So we got ham and what's the cheese?
It's a cheese, and I didn't even look at the label, but when I got it from the Restore, which is a really fancy store down the road where we do this podcast, and when I told the girl that it was for having with Negroni style drinks, she's like, oh my god, Negroni's my favorite drink, what are you gonna have? I was like, oh, just some cheese and ham. And she's like, you gotta have this cheese. So we got the cheese. It's really full on cheese. And
Justin's about to,
and so it's very strong, really pungent cheese.
Just knock it back,
it's teaspoons because it's really runny, so maybe not the most well thought through cheese for this, but like it's actually growing on me.
Justin's face says otherwise.
But it's really, really pungent cheese for everyone listening. So it's not blue cheese, but it's
like a really creamy French. Is it French or is it Italian? Is it?
I was in a rush to get here. A shit fact about it. She's like, it's $110 a kilo. This is only $8 worth of cheese, right? So, but
it's not that bad, Travis. I don't know what you're talking about.
Travis isn't a fan.
I'm not a pungent cheese sort of person, so.
I have, mixed.
Mixed emotions.
It's got a nice saltiness. A nice saltiness.
Yeah, she said it was really salty. Yeah.
I like it.
All right. Actually, I like it.
Yeah, Trav, we like it.
Literally 2 minutes ago, you said you hated it.
I didn't say I hate it. I just wasn't sold on it. And now I'm backing myself.
Is that just because one other person likes it, or?
Nah. So we're going to get stuck into content, I reckon. Justin, we'll hand over to you because you were on this week's.
Yes.
Last minute call up.
I am. dropped it in. So I wanted to share today a couple common themes that have come up of late for myself over the last, good week. I went and saw Gary Vee last week in Singapore, which was really cool. Saw him live. He's always good for a bit of a pump up. And for anyone who's familiar with good old GV, I mean, he talks the same stuff. So there was nothing really new in the talk that I went and watched. However, he had a massive emphasis on, which is a bit of a thread I think he seems to be on, is like, you've got to stop giving a fuck what other people think about you. And he then kind of references that back to most commonly that it's your mum or your dad, and, you know, stop giving a fuck about what they think or what they're doing and holding you back. And, you know, what was really interesting is from there as well, because I flew to Sydney this week and I've had a bit of travel time, I picked up this, which I've had on my list for a while, an audiobook called The Courage to be Disliked. I believe it was originally a Japanese book, which has been translated into English. It's written by, excuse my Japanese, Ichiro Kashima and Fumitake Koga.
Nice.
And the book, The Courage to be Disliked, and the themes in it are uncanny to what kind of Gary Vee talks about. And I'm not sure if we've talked about it before, maybe a little bit. It kind of brings me back to Tim Grover type mentality a little bit, and probably a couple of the other themes that we've talked about. Now, the book is a really interesting book. It's a dialogue between a young boy or man and a philosopher per se. And it's really just an interchanging of dialogue kind of throughout. I'm only halfway through. However, with this book, and then on top of that, I've had 3 or 4 conversations this week with people around this element of they're still caring too much what other people think. And I'm guilty of it too, and have done in the past. And I think when I shared the message, Marco was like, is this a bit of an unveiling? And it's not really an unveiling, because I think it's an ongoing journey. It's always something you check yourself. So like when I saw Gary Vee, I was like, oh yeah, what am I not doing because I care about what maybe X, Y, or Z think about whatever it is. And I think a lot of it's subconscious as well. And the book, The Courage to be Disliked, is built off this core of, what is it referred to? Sorry, I've got it Googled here. Adlerian psychology, which is another kind of, I think, Michael, you might be able to help me out
here. Well, Alfred Adler was the psychologist who
came up with
Adlerian psychology, and he was around with he was connected with the other European philosophers back in the day, Jung and Freud as well. So he was one of these guys, but kind of broke away, I think, a little bit from their mother father sort of thinking of that's where everything comes from. He came up with the inferiority complex was one of the
talks about some complexes and what I gathered so far is a lot of the psychology is around that everything we do is goal-orientated as an individual. However, I don't really want to go down that path, but what was a really interesting statement, which was off this, I guess, caring about what other people think, is that the psychology states or makes a statement around that every problem we face or every situation or everything that we kind of go through in life is actually interrelationship problem, i.e. that everything we have faced as an individual only exists because of the relationships between others. which is a really interesting thing, which kind of is off that same track of every action and everything we do is all about what other someone else thinks of us, regardless.
Yep.
And I kind of wanted to explore that because I thought it was really interesting. And it actually talks about happiness as well, you know, in that, you know, some people are chasing happiness, but at the end of the day, they're not achieving it because they still think or care about what maybe someone else thinks or what they're doing. And there's a lot of subconscious to it as well. And an element of like, do you agree with kind of that statement that every problem you face, every challenge, whether it's, you know, everything we've talked about on this podcast before, actually exists as a, you know, interrelationship problem. And so that's kind of what I wanted to explore, and even exploring kind of the strumming up the courage of not caring what other people think, and any personal experiences you may have there to share. Or because, like as I said, there's been quite a few conversations this week which people are like, you know, doing X, Y, and Z, or they're complaining, or they feel depressed, or they're not happy. And it's like, you're feeling that way because you're trying to hold on to something, and that can be the fear of what someone else thinks, or the fear of that action. And that's all just pre-constructed, because you actually don't know what the outcome will be. And it's this whole kind of legacy conversation a little bit as well. You can never control what anyone else thinks about you. And so, you know, that's kind of all intertwined and wrapped together.
There's a really strong connection with Socrates and Plato and the ancient philosophers with this stuff.
Yes, like
a direct correlation.
Yes.
That's where he got a lot of his ideas from, which is Stoic as well in practice. So there's a lot of the, what we've talked about before, intermingling of that sort of stuff.
Yeah. And now we'll have to repeat all of that.
Kanye!
We'll interlude to a replay of that conversation so Kanye can join in. No, Kanye just joined in the room a little bit late. So, look, I want to, happy to open that up. You know, what are your thoughts around that? And what's, I guess, to finish off, what I find super fascinating is Gary Vee is kind of bringing this so vocally and so direct to, you could almost say, the masses. And this is stuff that has been around for hundreds of years. You know, it's there, and it's quite fascinating when you acknowledge that Gary Vee's really bringing this stuff to the surface, and the majority of people are like, oh, wow.
What the hell?
Yeah, you know, so.
Well, I think the interesting part that he talks about is that everybody inside them has got a true self. Like, there is somebody inside that is the true indication of who you are, but the relationships around us either smother that or hide it, and you don't become your true, like, you're always striving for becoming slightly more superior. Because he talks about, I think he came up with the inferiority complex, where we think of ourselves as inferior, think about what people think about us, but he then flipped that on its head and created what they would call the superiority complex, which is what you should be striving for. As you said, like, not giving a shit about what people think about you and going after that sort of your true desire, I suppose. So inside every one of us, the true self is there, but the connections, as you said, between everybody creates a friction with that, and you let that start dictating who you become.
Mm.
And the other interesting thing he said was that without the interactions, like you said at the beginning, without these interactions, who actually are you? Like, if you were alone in a forest, without any interaction with anybody, are you even a self? Are you a self?
Correct.
You know, so there's some quite high sort of, some quite complex things to try and think about in this.
Yeah, well, on that, if you're struggling with a problem or a situation, like if you strip it all away and it was just you, is it really a problem or a situation? You know, like if you're depressed or sad or whatever, or even on the opposite, could you feel that way if no one else existed or was involved?
Yeah.
Which is a really interesting aspect, which means, you know, are you holding on to, again, what other people think? But at the end of the day as well, it should reference that that's also what makes us human. It also what makes us what we are. You know, but I had a couple instances this week, I guess, to some context, where it was a conversation with someone where they were holding on to a grudge for a situation that happened a while ago. And they weren't sure of, like, you know, what do they do about it? And it was obviously eating them up. And, you know, for whatever reason, you know, she was caring about, you know, she didn't want to either address the situation because she didn't know how that individual may react or didn't want to approach it. And this was kind of eating her up. But at the end of the day, it was only a situation that affected her. And, you know, at the end of the day, though, it was connected to, you know, some other form of relationship. And all she needed to do was make the decision. And that's kind of that element of courage of making the decision of either just to move on and live with it, or you've got to have the courage to make the decision, address it and move on. And so, you know, there's kind of that element of courage in there and self-awareness too, which kind of comes back to that individual track, which is a little bit that Marcus Aurelius, a little bit stoic element. You can do something about it or change the way you think about it. But, you know, does anyone else have anything they'd like to share on that track?
I feel in recent weeks and probably for since I've started the journey of business, there's been a lot of courage lacking that has held back my development and the business's development too, whether that be specifically this week conversations that I should have been having that were going to be uncomfortable, that were going to, not negatively, but kind of put someone else out of their comfort zone. And therefore, I wasn't courageous enough to have that conversation, to get outside of my comfort zone, to help this individual grow, to help them go to that next level. I kind of chose the short-term comfort of just kind of not having that conversation. I chose the short-term kind of let them be and don't disturb the peace sort of thing. However, that's going to have negative long-term effects on the business's growth, on my ability to grow as an individual and kind of reach that potential that I want to.
How are you addressing that? Are you...
I think...
You're obviously self-aware enough to know you're doing it.
Yeah, it's... And often when I have the conversation, it's never as bad as you expect.
Yeah, definitely.
I had this situation a couple of weeks ago where I had to let a team member go and I was building it up and thinking this is going to be a really big thing and all the members of our community are going to be outraged, but it wasn't as big a deal as I thought
it was.
It's
funny as well.
It ended up to be a big thing.
And it becomes a real physical freedom. You feel lighter, like there is a disconnection and you rise from it. Like it's a real physical feeling as well, I think.
Yeah.
100%. When the truth is out there.
So I think at the moment I'm just trying to go, this isn't about me. There's a bigger picture here. There's multiple people within my team. There's a bigger vision. There's people we want to impact. And therefore being selfish and kind of go, I want to stay comfortable by not having this conversation, I'm actually disadvantaging a whole lot more than just myself.
Just yourself,
And it gives you a bit of perspective.
Yeah, and I can completely relate to that, and there's almost that element of like, which is where I think I agree a lot with the statement. It's kind of like that fear of success and that fear of failure, you know, because again, it's a fear of really when you think about it, how you're going to be judged and how everyone else thinks about you, you know, in either path you go. And I think we, on one conversation, one of the podcasts, we talked about most people actually fear success more than they do failure. You know, and like in business, having those conversations that are tough, you know, are hard to have, and you've got to have that courage continuously. And, you know, it's kind of fear of going in either direction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you find it's similar whether you're a leader of a business or whether you're a parent or a friend, like you sometimes put your friendship ahead of the bigger picture. If your teammates especially are friends, or they were to begin with, or they become close friends, then your will to protect them can sometimes be greater than your will to help them grow. And that can be a challenge. It's something that I'm not particularly good at, whereas it's something I've seen that, Conrad, you have more experience and more ability to switch off that side and go, no, this is what needs to get done. This is how we need to move forward.
Well, it's a conviction to the greater goal, right? I mean, I think that's where you get the courage from. And so if you don't have the conviction, you're not likely to have the courage. If you don't have the courage, you're not likely going to be able to take anything on to go forward with anyway. And most people, and I think we actually, it was quite an interesting piece of put into the group yesterday, whether you could define yourself as a leader if you actually don't have anyone following you. And obviously the discussion went down wherever it went down, but the immediate piece is that you have to be committed to whatever it is you're trying to deliver.
We talked sort of got to, I don't know if it's a silly stage or not, but we started talking about, no, you're leading yourself in the end, aren't you?
But like, you are. That's where your conviction comes from. And when you, it's what we're playing with. I think one of the biggest reasons we're having some success at the Hawks this year is because I challenge as a leadership group that they're not there just to be mates. They're there to deliver an end result, and the end result is to hang a banner.
Which means they're going to be a bit more uncomfortable with what they have to do.
For sure.
Yeah.
So it's great to be there around friends. It's great to take friends on a journey, but who's prepared to have the uncomfortable conversation?
Yep.
Yeah. It's sort of more important to be respected than to be liked.
I don't even know if it's more respected to be... I think then you're coming back down to Tim Graber, you know, who gives a fuck? Not even respect. I mean, I think all of those things happen as a byproduct of... You can't aim for respect. You can't aim to be liked. You just aim to deliver.
Yeah.
And through delivery... And you know, you're committed, convicted, courageous through delivery. Then you get a chance at being respected.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll still hear a lot of people talk about Steve Jobs not being very well respected by his peers, and his employees, and the people, and his family.
Yeah.
I'd say not very well liked by his peers, but they respected his vision.
Yeah.
His.
Well, they honoured his vision.
Yeah.
And they continued to honour his vision.
But he had real conviction, didn't he? He was sort of he had that bigger picture that nothing would sort of stop him. He was sort of going to wherever he was going without caring what people thought, really.
And the courageous comes because you're generally going into areas you've never gone before.
Yeah.
Whether it's internal or external.
Yeah. And I mean, Steve Jobs we talk about, and it is a bit cliche to talk about Steve Jobs with all this sort of stuff, but he was so powerful. I mean, he's globally changed.
Oh, we can talk about Elon Musk right now. I mean, Elon's probably the right smack bang in the middle of where Steve Jobs was.
I don't know after that comment he made the other day, but...
Okay, then you've got Jeff Bezos. So, I mean, I think what you're seeing is that there's a pattern trait there.
Yeah, and they bring people with them. Yeah.
And it's an uncomfortable space to be in.
Mm.
Well, I think as you know, humans, though, we obviously love comfort, and then it's easy for us to justify reasons to maybe not push forward or take that courage or whatever that may be, you know, to satisfy almost the excuses, you know, that, like I said, and that can come back to a simple thing as fear of success or fear of failure or fear of what someone else thinks about you. But if you're convicted with what you're doing, there is an element of... You just got not a really care, and there's almost that element like if you know your intent is pure and you're doing the
right
thing.
That's the most important thing.
Who gives a fuck?
Like your intent is what gets you through.
Who may say X, Y, or Z about whatever it is, because no one will ever know the full picture anyway. And you might make the wrong decisions here and there, but if the intent was still good, who cares?
Well, that's your moral compass, right?
Mm.
And we've seen when intent goes bad. I mean, in the 20th century with Russia and with Hitler, obviously, when intention is bad.
Intention is the most important thing.
That power is still there, yeah.
And I think that's what we actually forget. You know, we don't think enough of, we fall into, and we aspire to want. But why?
And the thing is, we all want to be loved, don't we? We all want connection with other people, and the easiest way to get connection is to kind of pander to people, not pander to people, that's the wrong word, is to say the easy thing, say the nice thing, sort of connect with somebody, it's like without maybe talking bluntly about stuff, more beer pizza sort of conversation rather than
not sure about what those are. I don't know what beer and pizza conversations are these days, mate. What are you drinking, by the way?
Yeah,
Boulevardier, which is a twist on a Negroni.
I gotcha.
You substitute gin with whiskey.
It's good.
Thanks. Japanese whiskey.
Whiskey.
Is it the social need to want to fit in that comes back to that a lot of the time, because that's one thing I struggle with, is that I've always been a bit of a black sheep and sort of not cared a lot with what people think of what I'm doing and how I'm doing it. But then you still struggle with that internal battle of like, well, should I actually fit in, or should I should I do what the masses do? So I understand where people come from with that sort of stuff.
But that's interesting, right? Even the emotional intelligence to know that there's a time to fit in and there's a time to challenge. Because most people are automatically guided in the lane of the masses.
Yep.
I was talking to my friend just this week and talking about an article I got shown by a Hindi guru who, I don't know if you can say this guy's name, but apparently Dalai Lama calls this guy the most intelligent bloke on the planet. But he put this newspaper article up and talked about how 5,000 sheep fell to their death from walking on the side of a cliff. But when you read the article, it was the first sheep slipped, the rest jumped.
So in question to that, like, so we, most of us have grown up in the early 2000s as teenagers, and you've got two people in here that have grown up
early 1900s.
Yeah, but similar sort of thing.
Got in before you.
So would social media and the way the internet has driven society in today's age, has that changed? Do you think it's amplified the need to fit in because of social media, and there's so many sort of fake lives on Instagram and fake lives on Facebook? Is that a fair assumption to make, Conrad?
Yeah, you can make the assumption. I don't necessarily agree.
But what was growing up like?
Amplified it, yeah.
Do you think when you were 25, was the average person wanting to live the life of having a travel Instagram and fit in more that way than following actually what they wanted
to
do?
I think the word you use is amplify, mate. I think it's always been in society.
Yeah.
I think all social's done is just amplify the desire for people to want to be like somebody else.
Yeah.
Because you can just view them fake or real whenever you want.
And I think people's bullshit readers are a lot more fine-tuned these days as well.
I don't know, mate. I mean, you've got this whole, traveling through the airport just recently, Facebook's taken a massive advertising campaign out on fake news.
Yeah.
So in one of my meetings in Melbourne was around a blockchain validating news. So I don't believe that people can have the social skills, let alone the intellect, to decipher at the moment.
Not everybody.
I think it's definitely, I'd go on the path of amplify. Like, if you think about, I guess, culture, it's kind of always been there, and the masses always follow and aspire to, whether it was, basketballers or movie stars or
gladiators. See, that was always there, right? You always wanted to. Like, I mean, I used to watch VHS tapes of basketballers. Mm. Now you can watch them online. So it's made it easier. So it's amplified. With any change, it amplifies the good and the opportunity of the bad. You make the choice. That's emotional intelligence to choose.
Well, that's kind of where a lot of what, I mean, Gary's talking about and the book talks about is you've got to make the decision and the choice, which kind of comes back to the self-awareness piece. And you've got to accept before you can kind of move on, which is a bit of self-reflect component. Why do you feel this way? What are you using to justify whatever it is? Why aren't you taking the courage to move forward to whatever goals you're wanting to achieve? Because you can, what the book is really interesting about is that we as humans actually, it talks about that the psychology is that humans, everything is goal orientated. Everything. I.e. if you're depressed, that's actually your goal to feel depressed.
It's your choice, right?
Really interesting. And you're using all these other things around it to justify it. And a lot of it is subconscious. Like if you're on Instagram looking up to these people, like it's your goal to feel that way in that moment because you either got a lack of self-esteem, you're not accepting who you are, you want to be someone else. And
which is why visualization and those things are important.
Yes.
Because we're actually doing it anyway.
Yeah. But I also think it's a muscle, like the courage to take the steps is a muscle. Like, and Jacob, where you shared early on, like myself is going through that journey and I've kind of been stress testing that muscle for a while. Like I didn't post on socials until like 2 years ago because I always had a fear of, what people thought. Never on Facebook, was never big on Facebook.
FOPO.
On Instagram, yeah. FOPO, right?
I love that word.
And
I'll name my next dog FOPO.
And it was a lack of, self-esteem, self-worth, all those elements. But then it's accepting with yourself and kind of learning. It almost loops back to self-love.
I'm with you. I'm the same thing. I hated social.
Yeah.
Literally hated it.
Don't now.
Yeah, that's certainly changed.
But what's interesting is like a self-check. This week has really dominated a lot, like with Gary Vee. And it's like even myself, I'm like, why am I holding back on certain elements, you know, and you get stuck in your rut.
So why are you?
Again, it's that you care of what other people think.
So what do you, so you're gonna challenge yourself to level up, and you're gonna
which I've been doing, and having similar conversations as well. You know,
it's a slow process.
Yeah,
it's, it's bit by bit.
You know, if you're growing a business, hiring someone, why aren't you? Fear of maybe it will work out, and then what? Like, it's legit.
Yeah.
There's a fear of it. Oh, it won't work out. But there's also the fear of what if it actually succeeds, and then what?
And then what?
So you know, it's super fascinating how connected fear, you know, of what caring what other people think. Mark, you've been quiet over there.
Still thinking.
Well, here's a quote from Alfred Adler. Meanings are not determined by situations, but we determine ourselves by the meanings we give to situations. Which I think's...
You know, you guys know me. I don't play in the grey. I don't think the grey exists, but I had a conversation during the week that had to lead me to rephrase how I speak about black and white. I mean, the grey is that moment of pause between making a decision left or right. And so grey does exist, but how long you stay in that grey and how long you allow yourself to be, how long you allow yourself to not move left or right is, I think, what the determinant factor is between success or failure.
It's a pretty big admission for you.
Yeah, it was a pretty profound moment.
Yeah. Good stuff.
But, you know, even back on the meaning component, yeah, we apply whatever meanings or justifications to whatever it is.
You can make any situation, any situation, can't
you? That's quite about stress. You know, it's only, the stress is only your evaluation of the situation. Yeah, it's only stressful. Is that same thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and like it was fascinating. It was another conversation of all these excuses and all these other elements, and this individual wasn't getting the results or the outcomes because he just wanted to make friends with everyone. But you know, that doesn't move you forward to wherever it is you want to go.
We've all been there,
yeah,
right?
Might create some genuine relationships, which is amazing. But his fear of wanting to be liked by everyone was actually doing the opposite for him. In that some people probably think he's too much of a nice guy and therefore actually don't like him anyway because he's too, you know, fluffy or blasé, and he wasn't getting the results that he wanted in his life and what he was doing in his work, you know, but he didn't realise it, you know, he was just like...
Well, he's not going to realise until someone points it out to him.
You know, and it's... But even then... He was justifying whatever meanings of the outcome of results or, you know, like, oh, I just need to be doing this or this or, you know, it's because of this reason or because of that reason. I guess it's almost like an excuse mechanism because you can put any meaning to justify whatever it is that you want.
Yep.
I'm not happy because.
So what do you think one of the main tools would be to try and break that habit, try and get through to your true kind of the true meaning of who you are? What can we do?
I'm happy to close it out if anyone else wants to add.
No.
Anyone else want to add to
Marcos?
No, I don't know.
Last chance.
Nah, we're good. No. I was just letting you guys know that we're close to, but you don't have to cut it in the middle of it. I would answer the question.
Give us some thoughts. Yeah, have you been quiet there on this topic?
Yeah, I actually just don't have any thoughts to give, to be honest. Just don't have thoughts to give.
What meaning are you giving this situation right now, Mark?
the fact that I don't have any thoughts to give?
Yeah.
I hadn't even gotten there yet. I was just like, I just don't have much to say. No, I don't. I honestly just don't have much to say. Yeah. I'm not going to say something for the sake of saying it.
Yep.
All right, let's move on. I like your t-shirt, Margaret.
Thank you, Travis.
Were you going to finish off?
It's not you.
Look, I think, you know, it's just a gentle reminder. Well, for me, this week's been a gentle reminder that you have to slowly just keep pushing through and have the courage to make the decision or go through that uncomfortable zone. It's really, you know, that saying, which is you got to get comfortable with the uncomfortable, and it's a muscle and it doesn't just happen. I mean, you can make the decision. Once you've made the decision, it's the first step. Acceptance, make the decision, but then you have to go.
Everything else go.
You've got to go through the uncomfort. you've got to push yourself through that, and it will be better for you in the long run. Whatever it is that's uncomfortable, you've got to face, or change your mind about it. You know, change your thought process and the meaning that you're applying to that uncomfort. Yeah,
change your perspective.
Yeah, change the perspective, which just comes all the way back to that root cause of, like, either do something about it or change the way you think about it.
Yep.
Because whatever meaning you're putting on it is just your meaning. It's not anyone else's. Yep. And whatever bullshit fabrication you've got in your head of why that might happen, the fear of failure, success, fear of someone not liking you, someone breaking your heart, someone fucking with you or whatever, doesn't exist. Because it's just your imagination.
It's a story you're telling yourself.
And like as you said, Jacob, and even myself, I dread on some of these conversations I have to have, and most of the time they're actually always more positive on the end of it, and they turn out better than what you think.
Yeah.
But you're nervous as fuck going into the conversation, and I guess it is a muscle. I'm becoming better and better at it, and I guess, like, you know, your friend Conrad's good at this. It's just practice, I guess, and the practice to be happy. If you want to be happy, and like we've talked about, that's not necessarily
but nerves are good, right? Nerves aren't bad.
Correct.
Nerves mean that you're invested emotionally,
mm.
which is fine. You're not a fucking robot.
I mean, little things like the cold shower in the morning, that action of turning the hot tap off, which is uncomfortable and fearful because you're going to get cold, that's building a little muscle memory.
Yeah, and putting yourself out there, like if it is, you know, you are scared of posting, post, you know, on social. If you care, you know, scared of something else, it's kind of pushing through it. Or if you're moping around, just challenging what's the root cause of it. Look, at the end of that, the book is phenomenal in helping to identify, I think, you know, causes of those elements. And as Gary Vee said, and even I'll take this on board, and I keep telling myself this as well, just stop giving a fuck of what other people think of you.
Yep.
Stop giving a fuck what your mum thinks, your dad thinks, your siblings, even what your mates, and move on with it and just take action.
Yep. It starts with being okay with yourself first, doesn't it?
It definitely does. It does come back to self-love, self-esteem, self-worth, and that's all a journey.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, it's a journey I've recently gone through and still going through. It's ongoing, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, now I don't know whether that's practical advice, but, you know, Gary Vee talks it a lot, and, you know, he's obviously more direct to it. I think he's just trying to do it through brute force, but there are other elements and ways to appreciate, I guess, not giving a fuck.
Yep.
Something I've been trying to do recently is the kind of courage is taking the path of most resistance. It's kind of knowing it's going to be easy to stay in that hot shower, but leaning in and going towards the cold shower, it's going to be easiest to sit there, but nope, you got to have those tough conversations. Say it a lot with our members, you probably have it a lot, Conrad, with your basketball team, is doing the hard work, taking that path of most resistance is what's going to get you to where you want to be, but it's always going to take discipline to follow that path.
Yeah. Yeah. Good topic, mate.
It comes back to, purpose, I think, and why is...
Yeah. It's too cliche.
And what you're doing, it is. But it's important. It does wrap everything we talk about, but it's dominated this week.
That's your intent, that's your values, that's your moral compass, so it does.
Mm-hmm.
And we can fucking fluff around as much as we want. And I've had that many conversations this week just on what the fuck, why are you doing it? If you don't know fucking why, you can't have the courage to do anything.
Mm. And actually, it's funny, you know, it was wrapped into the conversations I had around, you know, advising or trying to suggest to people, like, you need to stop giving a fuck, but it came back to their why and their purpose, because that's what pulls you through. Because if you don't give a fuck about what someone else does, but you care about what you're doing, that's, you know, I guess more important. So on that, good reminder. Gary Vee is always good to check out, but stop giving a fuck. Conrad, you're up.
Potato.
Potato, potato.
Fuck. Potato.
Hey, sorry.
Hato, potato.
Hey, I've got to hand some stuff out, so...
Yeah, okay.
Take a pause and do this shit.
Yeah, all right, let's do that, because I've got to put the cameras on as well.
Yeah, cool.
Sweet, we'll be back in a sec.
All right.
Seriously.
We're back.
Flaccid straws.
Flaccid.
They're very bendy.
I reckon these are really, really scary, but anyway.
How come the potato looks like you, Conrad?
I'm just a potato head. Gentlemen, I want to talk about focus. And we've talked about it in part in along the last 30 or so episodes we've recorded in different formats. And it's something which I find myself coming back to now more. What are you doing, mate?
Spit it.
Give me good sound effects.
I was taking a focus away from eating by eating a potato.
Well played.
A raw potato. Keep your focus, Conrad.
I'm trying to keep my focus, Travis. I've been up earlier than you this morning.
It's all in between my teeth now.
I've got a quote here from Tony Robbins. I'll talk to my experience and then I want to take you through an exercise.
Yep, cool.
Yeah? Hopefully we'll get it all done in time. One reason so few of us achieve what we really truly want is that we never direct our focus. We never concentrate our power. Most people dabble their way through life, never deciding to master anything in particular. Fair statement, fair quote?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. A couple of weeks ago, I think I touched on the fact that a friend of mine is dealing with stage 4 cancer, and she's come out of brain surgery, and she says how much energy she has. And I said to her, it's not that you've got any more energy, you're just more focused with what you're trying to do. You're trying to survive right now. You're not trying to make anybody else happy. You're not trying to fucking look for any shopping specials. You're trying to survive.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah? So her focus is what's allowing her to feel more energized.
Yep.
Yeah? And so when we're on our journey as entrepreneurs, when we're on our journey as people, the more focused people always ask me, how do you have that energy? It's because I'm focused on what I'm trying to deliver. And, you know, talking about what you were talking about earlier, Justin, I'm very clear with what my why is and where I'm going and what I want to achieve. And that's what fuels me. I came across this book back in 2009. It was given to me at a time. It was pretty tumultuous in my life. I read the book. I connected with the author and spent some time with him over the last 12 months at different stages. The book's called The Magician's Way, and the author's name is William Whitecloud. And in the book, one of the first parts of the book that really intrigued me, well, there's two parts. He talks about this meeting with a golf coach, which is a real life person and teaches golf through life lessons. And one of the first lessons in this book was staying outside your swing circle. So it's becoming comfortable with the uncomfortable. Yep, not trying to control things too much. The other part he starts going through was a situation in the book where the main character is encouraged to learn about focus through putting a straw through a potato. And when I heard about this and read this, and I understood that it was something that could be done, but in my head, it still seemed like an impossibility, an improbability. And so I never tried it. Everyone asked me, you know, people that read this book said, yeah, have you tried this, have you tried it? And I hadn't tried it up until recently. And it's right at that point when you think, can you? I've seen people break boards. I've seen people break tiles. You know, Justin, you're a taekwondo. You've got to break tiles. Is that what you got to do with your
boards?
Yeah. Boards. So same thing, yeah? Same thing through martial arts. It's that focus, keeping that distraction out. And at that point of impact, you're able to do whatever you're meant to do. Is that a fair assumption?
On that, a tip for breaking a board is you actually look past the board, which is interesting. Like, you actually don't aim for the board.
Yep.
You kick through the board.
So, because that's the end result, right? That's the end result, Jamie. You want to get through the board. You're not actually aiming to hit the board. You're aiming to get through the board.
Yep.
And so when you're setting your vision, it's not about what you're actually trying to achieve. It's what the next day looks like.
Ooh, yep.
Yeah? Keurig Ashley, another great motivational coach, worked with the two ladies, Kerry Pothas, and I keep forgetting another lady's name.
Natalie Cook.
Natalie Cook. For leading up to the 2000 Olympic Games.
Is that the book? He's got a book, right?
Yes.
Yeah,
I've just given you that one. Yeah. So Keurig gives these talks and speeches and talks about helping, motivating people. And he's worked with a number of athletes, a number of Olympians, a number of world champions. Pothast and Cook was at one of his seminars leading into the 2000 Olympic Games. And they felt that motivated. They wanted to approach him, but they didn't have the money to engage his services. And they told him this, and Keurig still wanted to help them, but he asked them the question, what happens after you win gold?
Mm.
What does the next day look like? Is exactly what we're talking about, right? It's not the board, it's what's beyond the board. Yeah? So I hang out with William over in LA late last year. He invited me to a session in Sydney before the World Champs, which I learned some techniques to then implement implement with my under-20s team for the Nationals, and we end up using some of the skill sets and we got a bronze medal. I'm doing some of the stuff now with the captain of the Hawks, Dan Purse. I'm working on some stuff there. And I've been using the techniques I've been given pretty much all of this year. And it talks about current reality, knowing where you're at, knowing what your vision is, where you're wanting to head, but knowing what also is holding you back. Okay? And, you know, we'll put the photo up, but there's a diagram there, and it's quite interesting because the path towards your vision runs horizontally, but your belief system, which is driven by your ego, is what's holding you back. And most people don't know that it's their ego that's doing that. So even if you might even have a vision, the vision to get through the boards, the vision to go and get gold, or whatever the case might well be, but it's your belief system that keeps holding you back. So you go down that path and you come ricocheting back. Yep, so I've had to do a lot of work on myself in understanding what my beliefs are, where my ego shows up. Okay, so when you're using a potato as an analogy, like you would use boards, the immediate problem you see is how does a straw go through a potato? Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, when I told you guys about this, how many of you guys thought improbability, unlikely, impossibility?
No.
No? You didn't think that at all?
No.
What didn't you think? Which one?
I didn't think it was impossible.
No, I didn't think it was impossible. Conrad
said he'd done it, so I thought, well, Conrad can do it.
Sure, but my headspace immediately when I read it in the book and then went to go and try it,
yeah,
there was an element of how the fuck.
I still don't know how I'm going to do it.
Yeah. And so that's the number one thing that stops you from succeeding.
Just straight away.
Yeah. Straight away. All right. So Justin, if you put yourself back in front of a set of boards and you're looking at the end result, how do you apply that to putting your straw through a potato?
Don't look at the potato.
Look beyond the potato.
Vision, right?
Yeah.
So, gents, you've each got a potato.
We're all a bunch of spuds.
We're a bunch of spuds. We've got a couple of straws.
Are there any rules?
No, there's no rule. I just want you guys to have a go at what the end result is you're trying to... You will get it if you are clear with what you're trying to achieve.
And are there any rules in place? Like, is it in one motion? Is it over 10 minutes? Is it...
Usually you can do it in one motion.
In one motion.
In one motion. All right? Through. All the way through.
All the way through.
All right, so we'll have a crack. We'll probably cut this for a bit and then we'll come back to it.
Ooh, talk about what we're doing.
Well, there you go.
So Marco's trying to drop it onto the thing, onto the potato.
And Jacob's done it.
Jacob just went straight through.
Focus.
Everyone's trying to stab theirs now.
They are terrible straws, but Jacob's done it, so you can do it.
I tried to tighten my point on it.
You got it?
Got it.
Everyone's just sort of attacking it now.
Well, exactly right. You need to try and use your force.
Once you've crimpled, like, once you've got weak points in your straw,
New straw.
There's more straw.
What's the metaphor in a crimpled straw?
Well, pay attention to your thoughts, guys, where they change and what you try to do.
Yeah. There's a story from a book I've been listening to recently called The Third Door.
Oh, yeah.
He talks about this mentor that tells him about concept of the exclusion list. He says, write down the 25 things that you want to achieve in your life on a piece of paper. Copy the top five across to a second bit of paper, and then numbers 6 to 25, ignore. It's like, oh, but there are some things on that list that I want to achieve. They're really important to me. It's like, no, if you don't focus on the five most important things on your list, then you're never going to be able to achieve those five. So you've got to be okay with excluding or ignoring some things that are important, that are probably pretty good ideas, but if they're not the top five or like not the most important ideas, and the lack of focus and that split attention is going to...
Travis clearly failed focus at school. I guess what I wanted to try and get you guys to understand is where your mind goes. All right? And if your mind deviates from something as simple as putting a straw through
a potato,
then when the decisions are harder, when situations are more difficult, the noise and the distraction is real and bigger. All right, so William talks about doing this on a daily basis to sharpen your skills, no different to the cold showers one.
Yeah, definitely. It's these little muscles, just muscles.
No different to the cold showers. It's a great little technique. And Jacob, how many times did you try to get that through?
It was the first, believe it or not.
Yeah, no, I believe
about
it.
About to try a second time.
I believe it. And I was sitting next to a guy in LA when we were doing this, and he just was punching straws through like you wouldn't believe, mate.
Wow.
Out of control. It took me a couple of goes. And I generally have practiced it. I haven't practiced it for a while, and I'm probably in a bit of a flooded head state coming off a plane.
Ooh, but I've been quite deep.
It's something that I guess I'd love to get you guys to do on a daily basis for a week or so, because I guarantee the muscle you will train, it will be there. And then understand how you apply that to other situations in your life.
Mm-hmm.
It was funny, I just said I got off a plane.
Broken.
There's a section in the movie The Ant-Man, which the dude has to learn how to influence ants. Okay, and the girl that can do it teaches him how to focus. Don't think about controlling the ants, think about what you're trying to do. And what he's trying to do is get in recontact with his daughter.
Yeah. All these things are
brilliant. So through thinking about his daughter, he then was able to influence the ants. So I'll put the snippet out there, but it really is interesting when you look at that type of stuff. Yeah. It exists in movies, it's get beyond the initial issue, get to what you're trying to deliver. The conviction.
Tool we've used in this group a few times about asking why, just 3, 5, 6 times dig deeper. If someone says, "This is what I want to achieve," go, "Why is that important to you?" And they go a layer deeper. Why, etc. You dig deeper and you kind of find that focus. It's like a funnel. You're just trying to.
Yeah, you were trying to get that.
There's another plane to it as well, though, I think. I mean, it's not just the focus, it's what else can you do? What are you not doing? So there's lots of little, from a more physics standpoint.
For sure.
So, you know, if you keep doing the same thing all the time, you're going to have the same result.
Exactly right.
So what can you change in that?
But in the context of what you have, you've got a straw, you've got a potato, you've got your mind.
Yeah.
So there's not too many variables.
So that's the vision.
Yeah. The vision is past the potato, it's through the potato.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Yeah, but most people stop at the potato. When you're talking about the heart
or the straw, they may stop at the straw.
Some
as
people
well.
Say well, the straw is different, or the straw is. I said my excuse was, oh, the straws are shit. But they're not. Like, if you guys have done it, clearly it's not the damn straw.
Yeah, I got a dud potato.
You know,
it's got a seed in it.
You know, the freaky thing is, it looks like an ant at the end of it.
Porcupine.
So guys, that's the thing. I mean, my challenge to you guys is over the next week, grab a spud, keep doing it until you can do it. And I was at a stage in my life just shoving these things through like you wouldn't believe. And I don't practice it anymore. I went back to it in LA and it took me a couple of goes to get it through. I'll stay with it again tonight till I get it through, just to get myself back in sharpness. But just pay attention to your thoughts. That's all. I mean, physics aside, if you pay attention to your thoughts, that's going to give you enough of an indication of how convicted and committed you are to wherever it is you're trying to go in any given situation. It's just a tool.
Have you done 3 in a row, Jacob? Perfect.
Perhaps.
So you shouldn't be worried about conversations and jokes.
There's that envy.
Any questions?
More respect than envy on that one.
Any questions on that stuff?
Absolutely.
Can't find the hole.
No? Anyone having problems apart from Travis Hodo, who thinks he's just got...
Me, I haven't gotten it.
Yeah, I haven't gotten it.
I just wanted a colourful potato. It's half eaten.
Google potato.
I thought Travis would use all red straw.
Potato juice stains your pants pretty bad, though.
Potato is a start.
Yeah.
Well, Marco, I think I'll hand it back to you. I mean, we're going to probably keep stabbing this for a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, does anyone have any thoughts on that? I'm not surprised by Jacob nailing it straight away. I would say he's, of the people that I know, one of the most focused individuals that I get to spend time with. So that's not surprising to me.
Yeah.
Which is fucking cool. It's always cool to watch you operate, man.
Appreciate it.
Especially putting straws through potatoes.
Oh, mate, and where Mike's at the moment, you know, that...
Yeah, Mike, you got it? He's got two through there. Yeah. We're actually recording this, so we'll put it up. I'm going to add this to my morning routine, actually.
Yeah, I really do encourage you to do it because it's really an interesting reflection tool to map your mind through.
It's good because I'm struggling with my focus at the moment, so I like this exercise.
Yeah.
And when you go to the UK, you know, you want to hit the ground running, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to put it out to the... Sorry. To the universe that I did cheat to a degree because
you studied physics
on YouTube, yeah.
But I mean, how much can you cheat on this? To be honest, like you got to follow through.
Yeah, it's there.
Did you use it?
Do you feel that you cheated?
In a way, yes.
Okay.
Fine. Well, not cheated because I did it, but I know a way of doing it, like which is more of a physics-based way of doing it. But I cheated, so I do feel really bad and dirty, Conrad. I'm sorry.
All right.
Yeah, no, it's cool. Good.
Thank you for that.
And as Marco said, I've taken away a challenge that I could have had. Which what did you say the other day? You said something in the little message.
I just made a joke about the marshmallow experiment, I think.
Yeah, which maybe. Is sort of taken the easy way out to a degree.
Well, I'm going back to using it because I've got that much going on.
Yep.
So it's something I'm putting back in one day. And so I wanted to show up to you guys, and if you want to use it, anybody out there that wants to try it, go for it.
But it
share your photos with us.
This is from someone that hasn't gotten it yet, but it just feels like it's a muscle that you build.
Yeah, like, of course
the
it is.
Ability to follow through and keep the stability of the straw.
Yeah.
It's a technique.
Go away, Jacob.
Sorry. The reason I'm saying that is because even if you look at the answer. It's a skill that you have to develop, like I don't know. You want to have a great physique, right? You can't just read about push-ups. You have to do the push-ups. You have to eat well. You have to do all of the stuff, and you have to develop it.
Yeah.
So
I don't know. I don't think you cheated yourself, Dom.
Hey, come on! There you go, Travis.
There's something that
Hang on. So Jacob's talking.
Something Justin said before about breaking boards, and it's something I've been taught recently on my introduction to American football, is that when you tackle someone, you don't aim to hit into them as if they're a wall, as if to push through them, as if you're trying to hit someone a meter behind them. Same idea with the board. If you don't break the board, you're just going to smash your hand into a solid bit of wood. So
it's a Bruce Lee one-inch punch.
Yeah. If you don't go all in... that's when you typically get hurt. If you hit a board with 90%, you're just going to smash your hand. If you hit someone with 70, 80%, if you don't go all in on your goals, if you don't go all in on your dreams, then that's when you can end off second best.
Trav stopped playing. He's actually switched on now.
Oh.
Pretty much.
And then there's that...
Got it as well.
There's that moment
when it's just
where you're like...
So close.
1 millimeter away from going through.
Doesn't count, Joe.
No, you got it.
Yeah, I got it.
I mean, anyone hasn't done it yet, so I'll keep going.
I think you just keep going. I just started on straws that already kinkled, though, so I was like, I didn't want to use the fact
here's
that it
tip,
wasn't
here's
a
fresh challenge
straw.
To you guys. Go lengthwise in your potato.
Oh,
oh
Jesus.
Go, yeah, that way.
Okay,
yeah.
And the dude in LA,
he's doing that.
Jake's doing it. He was doing it every way.
Yeah,
Jake's probably done it. Jake will just look at it.
Ooh. Yeah, it's crazy.
No, enough.
This is seriously cool. People, go get a potato and a straw and book out the rest of your day.
But it does highlight the importance of focus.
Yeah, it does. So it just gets you to your right there.
Yeah.
And it's easier to get them bored.
Yeah, no. I'm
but also focusing on and
what changed with you? What changed with you?
Oh, I
took it seriously.
Yeah, I took it seriously.
Yeah, you wanker.
But no, what it was is I looked at what I had done the previous four times and said, well, why aren't I going through it? And I was like, well, I need more speed. I need to follow through.
Yep.
And that was the two things that I kind of I figured out. So it's having the focus to reflect on that and look at what you're doing wrong and then be able to do it correctly the next time.
Yep.
So no, it was a good little exercise.
It's really cool.
That's a little bit to you guys.
Side. And actually, really enjoyed that one I wasn't using, I was doing more just the focus thing rather than what I know can work.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
Interesting.
Fun fact, 2 years ago, my word for the year was focus.
Yes, I remember.
And then last year was hustle.
What's this year?
Potato. Still hustle.
Still hustle, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. This year's potato. I just like hustle. But yeah, there you go.
Cool, guys.
Cool, so I think we'll... Oh, sick. Got another one. Unless anyone's got any further potato-y thoughts.
We got a lot of chips to break.
Yeah. How was the drink, guys? Was it all right?
Yeah, great.
Yeah, cool.
I
actually enjoyed it.
Yeah, very nice.
Great. Cool. Well, glad you enjoyed it. Thanks, everybody that's listened. We really enjoy your company.
Especially
really
to the last 15 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, we'll put up some video of it, but it's a really interesting exercise. I think it's worth trying.
Well, I think it does reinforce as well, setting a vision, setting something that's a little bit more ambitious as well, like looking past as opposed to, just looking in front of you. Did you get another one?
Nearly.
I got like 80%.
The full length. It's all the gym.
I'm just falling short now all the time. That's all good. Cool. So, wrap it up. Thanks, guys. We'll catch you next time.
Thank you.
Cheers.
Bye.
Bye.
Champagne.